I would ask you to please turn with me this evening to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 12. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 12. And our text this evening is verse 42. Matthew 12 and verse 42. And that is page 1125. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42. The Queen of the South will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Solomon is here, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many of the accounts in the Old Testament provide for us pictures of the wonders of the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And the grace of God means God's favor and love that is shown to us, even though we do not deserve it. It's God's favor and love freely given, freely bestowed. We cannot earn it, we cannot purchase it. But God bestowed it upon us as according to his wonderful mercy and grace. And here this evening, we have read in our reading in 1 Kings the greatness of King Solomon and the diligent search of his wisdom and greatness by the Queen of Sheba. And we can take encouragement this evening from God's word as we look at this example of the Queen of Sheba coming to King Solomon. And we can learn from this that we can come to God in his awesome greatness and his awesome majesty, and we will not be turned away if we plead the name of his only beloved Son, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. God in Jesus Christ reveals to us his wisdom and his love, and bestows upon all that trust in the Lord Jesus his spiritual riches. And so our verse in the New Testament unlocks the door that takes us from the throne of Solomon to the throne of God's grace. A greater than Solomon is here. But before we come to that particular thought in conclusion, I want us to consider the way in which the Queen of Sheba came to King Solomon, because it's a helpful example for us of how we ourselves can come to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, the greatness of King Solomon. King Solomon was, in terms of wealth and natural wisdom, the greatest king that ever lived upon this earth. Oh, we've had kings that have been great and mighty warriors. They've been kings that have been great politically. They've been tremendous in wealth. But no one can compare, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, who superimbounds Solomon, the wisdom that God gave Solomon as a king. God had a special purpose of providential favor toward King Solomon. And this became evident following the way that Solomon responded to an amazing offer that God gave to Solomon. If we turn back to 1 Kings and chapter 3, just a bit earlier than the passage we read, 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5, we have the Lord speaking to Solomon. And at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. And God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Now, how would you respond to that question this evening? If God was to say to you, "Ask what I shall give you," what would you like? Would you be saying, "Well, I could do with a bigger house or a bigger car or wisdom"? I know oftentimes when I work it in India, in the villages in India, at the end of the services, the people would come and they'd ask to pray, for you to pray with them. And predominantly, they would be asking for wisdom, that they might learn English, because they see English as a pathway to a job in the big cities. Well, if God asks you this question this evening, how would you respond to this great question? Well, how did Solomon respond? Well, let's look in 1 Kings chapter 3, and we read what Solomon said. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And Solomon had said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child, and I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge the people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" Well, the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have given according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall anyone like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings of all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Well, this reminds us of the wisdom of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, where it said, "Seek you first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you." Dear friends, is that what we seek first? Oh, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, God promised Solomon wealth and wisdom as he continued to walk in his statutes and his commandments. And when the king of Sheba visited King Solomon, his wisdom and kingdom had become the wonder of the world. Because if we turn on to back to 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 23, "So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. Now all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart." Well, the Lord really worked on in the life of Solomon at that time. And this teaches us an important truth, that God is mighty in providence and in grace. He can exalt a king or a person, and he can make sure the world sits up and takes notice if it be his will. He can lift up, he can put down according to his pure will. And he took this man who felt like a little child, and he made him the greatest king in all the earth. What the Lord can do for you, dear friend, if you will come before him as a little child and seek his face and seek his wisdom and seek understanding and seek his way of salvation in Christ Jesus. We have then this picture of Solomon at the time that he had this special visit from the Queen of Sheba. He was a man by now of incredible wisdom, incredible wealth, also under the providential blessing of God. But there is another important characteristic of the kingdom of Solomon. He obviously had ambassadors who would speak well of their masters. Solomon's envoys had traveled around the world. They were experts in promoting the kingdom of their master. And the Queen of Sheba, she had been told of the fame of Solomon, but notice this concerning the name of the Lord. Now what a testimony that is at that time in the life of Solomon. He was a great king. He was a mighty king. He was a wise king. He was abundantly blessed of the Lord. And there's a connection here. The fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. He clearly identified himself with the great God, the Jehovah God. And his ambassadors, when they went around the world on behalf of his kingdom, they spoke well of Solomon, but in the context of him being a believer in the God, the great God, the God of Israel. Well, Solomon's envoys then spoke well of him, and he had been told of the wisdom, they'd been told of the wisdom and the wealth and the words of Solomon. That's what the Queen of Sheba heard in the context of the name of the Lord. Now, how many of our friends and the people that we come across know about the glories of Jesus Christ? You see, how can people be attracted to Jesus Christ if they are not told about his beauty? They are not told about his beauty. We're not talking about the beauty of his looks. We're talking about the beauty of his character. We're talking about the beauty of his love. We're talking about the beauty of his grace. We're talking about the beauty of his forgiveness. We can tell people about the wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is greater than Solomon. We can tell those that we come into contact with, if they ask us, why do you go to church on the Sunday? Why do you not swear? Why do you not go down the nightclub with us? Why don't you party with us? And you say, well, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus. Tell me about the Lord Jesus. Who is this Lord Jesus? Many people in the world today do not know even who the Lord Jesus really is. Well, we can tell of the beauty of his character, the beauty of his love, the beauty and the wonder of his forgiveness. Oh, you know, when we go on holiday, we send pictures back on the WhatsApp, whatever it might be, and we're impressed with what we see, and we want to show people what we've seen, the beautiful scenery, how great it was. That's quite good and proper. How beautiful was the scenery? How good were the facilities? How much more should we speak of the one that is greater than King Solomon? Oh, we could speak of the beauty of his the wonder of his sacrifice, that he should give his life on Calvary's cross, that he should suffer the punishment due for our sin. There's a wonder in this. There's a beauty in this sacrifice, inasmuch that the God's love was so great for needy sinners that he sent his only beloved Son. Oh, we could talk of the beauty of his intercession, of how the Lord Jesus Christ speaks for his people. He intercedes for his people, and he understands his people. We could speak of the beauty of his home, heaven, and the beauty of his power, mighty to save. And so the Queen of Sheba, she'd heard about the wonders and the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. And now we move on in the second part of our message to the seeking Queen of Sheba. What can we learn from the testimony of the Queen of Sheba? Well, the Queen of Sheba heard so much about King Solomon's greatness, it gave her a longing to see him for herself. And this is what it is like for a sinner. They hear about the wonders of the Lord Jesus and the beauty of his name, and they think, well, I've heard about him. I know about him, and as much that I know, I've heard about his wisdom, I have a knowledge, but I actually want to know him. I want to meet him personally. And so the Queen of Sheba, she wasn't just satisfied with a knowledge of King Solomon. She wanted to see him for herself. She wanted to meet him. She wanted to speak to him. Because what she had heard seemed to her absolutely incredible, and it might be so for you this evening. You might be thinking, is it really true that the Lord Jesus Christ, the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, can forgive all my sins, all my iniquities? Is this very possible? Well, the Word of God says it is, and the Word of God is true, but we won't know this as a felt experience in our life until we come to the Lord Jesus, and we come to him as a little child, as Solomon came before God. Well, if these reports were true, then Solomon could answer the hard questions that she had in her heart. So she came to Solomon on a mission of truth and understanding. So we see, first of all, that she came to Jerusalem to test him with hard questions. She came, we'll note, even with her unbelief. Even with her unbelief. She'd heard about Solomon, but there was something inside her that said, this can't be true. There can't be a man on earth that has this wisdom. I need to know for myself. And she had a spirit of unbelief. She'd heard about Solomon, but there was still perhaps a cynicism in her heart. I want to see for myself. And so we read in verse 7 of this same chapter, chapter 10, when she's talking to Solomon after she'd spoken to him, however, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame which I had heard. Now, friends, you may be troubled with unbelieving thoughts. You may be struggling with issues around even the Word of God. Come to God with those questions, with that unbelief. Let God minister to you through his Word, that you may understand. It's by faith we understand. By faith we accept the Word of God. And she came even with her unbelief. Her unbelief didn't keep her away. She came. And so it is for us this evening. We need to come. Our unbelief actually is the very reason we need to come. That our unbelief might be dealt with. That light might shine into the darkness. She did not believe until she brought her unbelief to Solomon. That's what she's saying. I did not believe until I came. She was sincere. She said, I struggle with unbelief. But she came by faith. She still came. She made a tremendously long journey to come. She came with her questions. And she came by faith. Albeit she was struggling with issues of unbelief in her heart, she still came. And so it is for us. We come just as we are. And she came to test the truth of what she had been told. And so she found that it was true. It was a true report. And so it is with the Word of God for us this evening. We have the truth of God before us. The Word of God endures forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, the Lord Jesus said. So she had sincerity. She had this faith to come. She came to see that the word of God was true, the word that was spoken to her about Solomon concerning the name of the Lord and his belief in the Almighty God was true. And then she poured out to Solomon all that was in her heart. All that was in her heart. She came to test him with hard questions, and then in verse 2 we read she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. And this reminds us, friends, of prayer. that we come, we pour everything out to God. There's issues in our life. We may have some very hard questions, but the questions are not the reason for not coming. The questions are the very reason for coming, to pour out our heart before the Lord. Oh, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. But then she came with her gifts. Oh, there was much she came with, very much gold and great retinue with camels and spices and precious stones. And we read of those gifts later on. Well, they were gifts of appreciation. They were not gifts to make a payment to Solomon for asking answering the questions. They were simply a token of her appreciation. They were a present to King Solomon. So it is with us, that we show our appreciation to the Lord as we consecrate ourselves unto the Lord, to His work and to His service and to His word and to what the Lord has laid in our life, in our pathway at this time. She showed her appreciation. So she made a personal sacrifice to come. There was great effort involved. She had to come on a great journey, as I've said. And when she came, she wasn't disappointed. She was overwhelmed by the greatness of Solomon and his kingdom. And so it will be for us as we come to the Lord Jesus and we trust only in Him. We will be overwhelmed. We'll be overwhelmed with the wonder of His forgiveness, the wonder of His love. And when ultimately we get to heaven, we'll be overwhelmed with the glory of heaven. It won't be like when we go on holiday and it's said in the brochure that you have this amazing view, and actually when you get there, the view is not so amazing after all, and you're disappointed. There will be no disappointment in heaven. In fact, what we will be saying is, the half was not told me. God kept so much back that we might appreciate it, the wonder so much, that God only told us a little bit about the glories of heaven as a taster for us. And when we get to heaven, we'll be overwhelmed with the greatness of the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and His kingdom. Millions and millions of saved sinners. And then she understood the reason for His greatness. The reason for His greatness. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, set in you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord has loved Israel forever, because He made you king to do justice and righteousness. And of course, a greater than Solomon is here. The Lord Jesus Christ, I've set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Serve the Lord with trembling. Serve the Lord with trembling. Rejoice with trembling. Oh, God, as the Father has delighted in His Son, He set Him on the throne. He set Him on the throne of Israel, His people, His church, because the Lord has loved His church forever, and He's anointed the Lord Jesus as the King to do justice and righteousness, absolutely. And then she gave to Solomon generously. She brought what she had, but she received a gift of grace. And I want us to notice in conclusion the wonders of the grace of King Solomon. She brought much abundance. She brought a very generous gift to King Solomon out of respect to King Solomon, but it was limited. If you notice in verse 13, there was no limit applied. Now King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, besides what Solomon had given her, according to the royal generosity. And this is the same as the Lord Jesus is for us. He doesn't say to us, well, there's so much of your sin I can deal with, but you'll have a limit, and then that's it. No, he saves unto the uttermost. All that we ask of him as we come to him and we ask him for forgiveness, the wonders of his grace, forgive us unto the uttermost. All that we ask, nothing held back. Everything in the Lord Jesus, everything in him, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And friends, as we look to the greater than King Solomon, we will be humbled. The Queen of Sheba, as she walked about the kingdom of Solomon, she said, there was no more spirit left in me. And so it is with us as we come to the Lord Jesus as a little child. There's no more spirit left in us, in and of ourselves. We do not say it's some of Jesus and some of me. We say it's all of Jesus. There's no more spirit left in us. That is, no more independence. No more saying, I can do this part of my life. The Lord Jesus can take the rest. No, it's everything. All for Jesus. All for Jesus. Solomon was the greatest king who ever lived in terms of wealth and wisdom. But Solomon, in some ways, is a type of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ are all the treasures of spiritual wealth. Come to him this evening. Receive from him. I close with quoting a hymn that you may know, but I remind you of it. Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray, therefore will not say thee no. Thou art come into a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. With my burden I begin. Lord, remove this load of sin. Let thy blood for sinners spill. Set my conscience free from guilt. Lord, I come to thee for rest. Take possession of my breast. There thy blood-bought right maintain, and without a rival reign. Amen.